Hi everyone. Welcome to our Twitter spaces with Illuminex, the first confidential multi-chain DEX built on Sapphire. Before our guests settle in, I'll just like to give a brief rundown of the past week. As you might know, we were in Berlin for DevCon and it was a total success. We made a lot of great connections, we met a lot of great people. I'd like to give a shout out to Matthias from Aragon if he's listening. But yeah, the event was a total success. We've actually announced our support for Ocean Protocol's Predictor DApp on stage at DevCon Berlin. And if you're not familiar with the Predictor, it's a crowdsourced on-chain platform for making and verifying predictions. And of course, by using our privacy-preserving runtime Sapphire, user integrity is protected, keeping user prediction data private until specific conditions enable data sharing. Our team, a couple of members from our team, also went to Token 2049, where they also made a lot of great connections. You can find a post on our Twitter about that. And all of these events will be detailed tomorrow because we're doing a special episode of the Oasis Weekend Review. We're going to have some core team members from BDN Engineering invited, and they'll give you more details about what happened at DevCon. Last week, we also announced the Oasis Sentinels Ambassador Program. This is very important to me because me and the community team worked a lot on this, and we already have a lot of great applications, and I encourage everyone to sign up for the program. We'll start interviews starting tomorrow, so very exciting news. We have a blog article regarding that. The entire event was recording and it's available on our YouTube if you'd like to take a look. We also launched a new series, Meet the Oasis Team, and the first guest was our head of marketing and community, Patrick. You can also find the interview on YouTube and the blog article written about that. And yeah, for this event, as I said, you'll be meeting Illuminex, and you can learn more about their project, their experience on building on Sapphire, their overall experience as a builder on the Oasis network, because they've been with us for some time, and of course, their future plans. So without further ado, I wish you a great event and have a great day, and I'll let Will take it from here.
Oh, thank you so much, Minya. It's a pleasure to talk to everyone today about this, exciting new collaboration. I guess for just brief introduction to myself, I'm Will. I'm the ecosystem growth manager here at Oasis. Really my responsibilities are pretty varied. Mostly I work with our various departments, community, marketing, engineering, and BD to help with strategy and prioritization of how we can grow our ecosystem. I guess sort of how the title sounds. But today we're joined by the Lunex team, and I'll give them some time to do an introduction on them and what they've been building.
Thank you, Will. Thank you for inviting us today. My name is Lisa. I'm the CEO and the cheerleader of the Illuminex team, and we are building the first confidential DEX with also multi-chain capabilities to bring more users into the Oasis ecosystem on the Sapphire Trusted Institution Environment technology. So, that's shortly about me. So I guess, Will, you can take it from here.
Yeah. That was a great introduction. I mean, I'm sure we're going to be getting into the mechanics of the confidential DEX a bit more as we go through this Twitter space. But I guess like the first question that a lot of people want to know is, how did you guys get started on building on Oasis? Have you guys been here for a long time? And what made you want to build a confidential DEX?
Yeah, so I've personally been watching Oasis since 2021. I was pretty interested in the Emerald and in the Paratim concept. So because it allows the highest, in my opinion, level of scalability that can ever be done on any ecosystem. We have started working closer with the Sapphire Paratimes specifically during our previous product journey, which was maybe, well, I guess many people from here heard about it, since we had a partnership with Oasis, it was the ARX protocol. It was the trustless P2P on and off ramp. So during our ARX journey, once we were introduced to Sapphire, we really got excited about the privacy aspect of the technology, because this was one of the things that we were thinking about, because, well, for me personally, it's one of the biggest concerns when I'm working with crypto, because when you have some money, you usually don't want to know, you don't want other people to know how much money you have, where you're transferring this money, and etc. So in my opinion, this is pretty important for especially personal safety of the investors. So in my opinion, it's the next big thing is the privacy, because many people here actually want their money to be private. So this is how we got introduced to Sapphire, and this is why I'm personally and our team is very excited about it.
Yeah, thank you for that. And for those of you guys who don't know, ARX or ARX was the winner of our testnet hackathon, I guess almost a year ago now, for when Sapphire was just beginning its launch. So we're really excited to have a team that has so much experience and has been, you know, spending almost a whole year now, you know, looking at Sapphire and building our one of the most important parts of our ecosystem in a confidential DEX. So I guess, you know, the other major question that everyone in the audience probably wants to know is, like, what is Illuminex? Like, what is your vision? Is it a confidential DEX? Like, what are the aspects of Illuminex that you're trying to build out going forward?
Yeah, so as a confidential DEX, we want not only to protect our users from flash loan bots and like other types of sandwich attacks, like other confidential DEXs on other ecosystems are doing, but we also want, as I mentioned in the answer to the previous question, we want users to be able to preserve their monetary privacy. So we want to provide the opportunity for Sapphire users and for other chains users who will be using our DEX and with the Sapphire as the middle layer, we want to provide them an ability to transfer money to other people in a confidential way and swap tokens in a confidential way and transfer it as well in a very seamless and convenient way. So basically a few clicks and you can confidentially move your token between chains through Sapphire and also wrap tokens to confidential tokens and swap to other tokens, and everything is confidentially. So this is basically our initial vision for the DEX product.
Yeah, that's awesome. I guess like one thing I'd like to follow up on there is like, why? I know that, you know, you've mentioned a lot that you want it to be multi-chain, like in the ability to have like cross-chain swaps and things like that. What is the advantage that you think privacy has for cross-chain swaps, and why do you think cross-chain swaps are so important as we move forward in Web3?
Yeah, so personally for me, I just will share a little bit my user experience when I need to, for example, send payments or salaries to some people. Well, obviously, I don't want those people to know how much money I have. And like, I guess many other people in crypto, especially investors, they don't want to expose their balances. So if they need to transfer money to someone, like, I don't know, like payment for some services, for example, they usually do it through the centralized exchange. And obviously, it's not very convenient. Like, for example, with Binance, you need to deposit it on Binance, wait like for about 1 minute. Once it will get settled, then swap on Binance and withdraw, which also takes more time. So it's not seamless. And our mission here is to provide, to utilize Sapphire as the middle layer between different chains so that people can transfer money through different chains and use Sapphire as the confidential layer between those. So basically, we're providing much more seamless and smooth user experience to move money and swap between different chains, because, you know, some people, they want to accept money on, for example, I don't know, Binance Smart Chain or BNB Chain, how it's called now, but you have money on Sapphire or you have money on Arbitrum or anywhere else. So basically, because different people use different chains, it's very important to create this integrity between people and also to keep this integrity private and confidential.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was just thinking a little bit more about the cross-chain stuff. How are you guys enabling this confidentiality? I know in the article you mentioned that there's going to be an ERC-20 token wrapper. How will that confidentiality actually work?
Yeah, so let's say you have, for example, ETH on the Ethereum chain, and you want it to confidentially be swapped for USDT on BNB chain. So basically what technically is happening, we're using Seller cross-chain protocol that is already integrated with Sapphire to bring tokens from source chain, which is Ethereum in our example. Then on the Sapphire, once tokens have arrived on the Sapphire, they're being wrapped into private token standard, which is basically, I guess you're all familiar with wrapped Ethereum, which exists on like many chains. It's pretty close to it, but those wrapped tokens, they do not expose your balance data and transfers data until you allow other people to see it. So basically, it will be technically the same ERC-20 token that you can transfer, that you can receive, and whatever. But only you can see your balance, and only contracts and people that you allow them to see your balance. And by default, no one else can see your balance. And once Ethereum arrives on Sapphire, it's been converted to this wrapped token, swapped for the USDT, and being put into the buffered queue. That's how we call it. So what is the buffered queue? It's basically a queue of unwrap requests from those wrapped tokens, but it's being unwrapped in batches to actually preserve user privacy and protect them from timing attacks, because those timing attacks might be dangerous to expose users input and output addresses, which would damage the privacy. So that's why we're doing this queue buffer for unwrapping those tokens. So once there is enough requests in the buffer queue, all the requests being unwrapped and sent to the destination chain. So there is no connection between input and output. So the confidentiality is preserved.
Got it. I love the idea of the buffer queue. Basically, you're using it to obfuscate. Basically, if it all happens in one, atomic transaction, one atomic swap, then it's very easy to see. Hey, 100 USDC came here, was traded for 100 USDT, and then it went there. But if you sort of unwrap it like this, then it creates greater obfuscation and greater privacy and confidentiality. I guess one question I have with that is, do you allow users who maybe need quicker times to create settings to sort of scale how much time they're willing to wait for greater obfuscation? And on the other thing is, are you leveraging Sapphire's RNG, native RNG functions for this time buffer? Is it preset how the time buffer works, or does it sort of use some sort of randomness in how it distributes the tokens at given time intervals?
Yeah, so right now for the testnet that is coming approximately in October, we did it as a fixed length for the buffer queue, but we wanted to be more advanced a bit later, closer to mainnet. As you mentioned, we want to create different types of those queues for different fractions of tokens so that it will be more secure for a user, so that users can split their outputs. For example, let's say you have swapped one ETH for, what's the price now? $1.5K. Let's just assume that it is. And you can also split your USDT that you got from this swap into smaller sections and send to different addresses if you want to do it. So to create even more confidentiality. So that, as you also mentioned, that's absolutely correct. Users will be able to configure how they want to preserve privacy and the severity of their transactions in terms of confidentiality.
Yeah, and I think, that highlights, at least in my opinion, one of the best parts about Sapphire, right, is that you have this, it's extremely flexible and it's extremely easy, or at least, you know, I'm not a developer myself, but what I have been hearing from developers that it's extremely easy to sort of create these flexible applications with sort of more complexity and that have high levels of sophistication than you have on other networks that are offering like privacy as well. I don't know, maybe you can speak to that a bit.
Yeah, I absolutely agree, because, you know, on other ecosystems that are focused on privacy, they usually use different technologies for developers, like Rust programming language, which creates extra level of complexity because you cannot use tools that you got used to. You have to go through docs a lot and learn how to work with this technology. And also, usually they're using zero knowledge technology, which is like great, but the downside of it is that it creates much more complexity and also limitations for developers. That's actually what we really love. This is one of the reasons why we really love the Sapphire and the Trusted Execution Environment technology, because basically you can easily adapt other contracts and other products to the Sapphire ecosystem. It's basically like code in the backend. You just need to specify what fields you want to expose to public and what fields you don't want to expose to public. And you know, and you can, and Sapphire can guarantee you that fields that you don't want to expose to public will not be exposed. And it's like very, very convenient and really great.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think this is the reason why, you know, we were building out Cypher as well. For those of you who are familiar with Cypher, it's a Rust-based confidential runtime. But we quickly realized that we don't want to have to reinvent the wheel for everything that's already been built in the EVM. And there's all these network effects that exist for Solidity and for EVM networks. And so, you know, that's really what we thought the value would come from Sapphire. And I'm glad to hear that developers are enjoying that experiences and that our sort of thesis is playing out. I had one more question about the ERC-20 tokens. I was wondering, you know, do you view this as sort of something that you're going to open source, and it might become like a standard for ERC-20 wrapping that maybe other DeFi protocols can tap into, maybe a confidential lending protocol in the future, or confidential NFT marketplaces, or something along those lines? How will composability work? Is it easily going to be composable, or is it a bit more challenging?
We made it pretty easy also for third-party developers to use those contracts that we have made for RAP tokens. So basically, it will be pretty similar to integrating the Uniswap, how it's currently done in different ecosystems. So developers that just need a Uniswap router address, and they call swap functions on it, and it's pretty seamless and easy to integrate with. So we have created a special wrapper factory contract that is instantiating new private wrappers, ERC-20 wrappers, for new tokens that do not have any wrappers yet. And you can pretty easily call wrap, unwrap, and unwrapping buffer queue functions, so that you as a DApp developer can control on your side which tokens you want to wrap, and if there is no private wrapper for this token yet, it will automatically create it for you. And also you can configure the buffer queue and get callbacks to your smart contracts when your buffer queue request is unwrapped. So we tried to make it as much as easy as we can.
Awesome. And if a developer starting to build on Sapphire today, who's part listening to this sort of space, wants to go and like look at what you've built so far, I guess they can just see that on your GitHub.
Yeah, we will open the GitHub after the public testnet.
Got it. Okay. So we'll make sure to share it with our community once the public testnet has gone live. Okay. That brings us to like the next sort of topic, which comes with privacy and Web3. That's sort of this regulatory uncertainty right now, right? We've seen in the past that other protocols that, you know, offer like complete anonymity for private transactions have been, you know, used by for illicit activities, while also being used for totally understandable activities. And it's sort of this difficult situation for regulators, where there's like, you want to offer privacy, but also at the same time, you don't want to also be enabling illicit activities. How are you guys handling KYC, AML, and all this regulatory stuff?
Yeah, so this is a really great question, because, well, we all know that our world we live in is not ideal. And if you're building some technology, there also might be responsibilities with it. Like, for example, as you also mentioned, we know the Tornado case and some other cases. Those products were built like, well, obviously not to launder money or do whatever, like, or something illegal. It was built by tech enthusiasts, but unfortunately, criminals found a way for them to utilize those products. And we do not welcome criminals here, so that's why we're building Illuminex in a compliant way. But at the same time, we understand the concerns from the community that, well, if you are compliant, how it makes you decentralized, right? So, and here is how we solved it. Like, if Illuminex team, will build a multi-signature contract that will be managed by the DAO, and DAO will be able to decide, like, what transactions to reveal and what to not reveal, and everything, like, if DAO decides to, let's say, reveal some transaction, it will be publicly visible. I mean, not the transaction itself, but the request to reveal it. So DAO is not able to, you know, view your confidential transfers without public notice. So it creates some protection for regular users and some, so that they can be sure that the DAO will not, you know, abuse their power and abuse their ownership. So this is the consensus we have managed to find here between the decentralization and transparency, and at the same time, fighting against money laundering and criminal activities.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I like this approach. I think it's a flexible approach, in the sense that, you know, it's one that you can sort of change how the multisig works and move it towards being compliant as we sort of get more standards, but at least it takes ownership for now, so that if, you know, there is a request by some regulatory body, there is a way to at least comply with it and say, like, hey, the DAO, the majority of the members of this DAO are not in favor of illicit activities, and we want to, if we think that this person was, you know, involved in an exploit or some sort of illicit activity, we can we retain the ability to share that information with regulatory bodies. And the way I sort of look at it right now is, like, it's sort of the same level of privacy, or it's a little, it's basically like the privacy that Web2 offers, right? Like, it's still like a very large net gain, in the sense that, like, at least, like, your neighbor can't view every transaction that you make, or, you know, the person that you're, like you said, you're giving payroll to can't see how much money you have. And it's only like a sort of a last resort type system for people who, you know, maybe have been using this technology for the wrong reasons. And so I really like this approach. I don't know. I think that hopefully with it, we also see like a lot of other new innovations with how we can tackle privacy and regulatory concerns. Do you have any last thoughts on that before we move on to the next questions?
Yeah, I would also like to comment on your mention of Web2. I personally think it's even better than Web2, because in Web2, like, the only thing that prevents service owners from viewing your data is some regulation like GDPR and etc. But we all know that they can violate it silently and no one will notice. So in terms of, like, privacy, it's even better than Web2.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that was probably, I was thinking more like, you know, Venmo. Like, if in terms of, like, in Venmo, I don't get to see, or a Cash App or Revolut or anything like that, I don't get to see other people's transactions when I send them money or anything like that. But, like, some centralized body, you know, still has the ability to comply with regulators and regulatory bodies. That's more what I meant. But I do agree it is actually better than Web2 in the sense that, at least it's not, it is actually a decentralized body of community members instead of a centralized entity looking out for its own best interests. Okay, so I guess, I know we have touched on it already, but I'd love to talk a little bit more about what your experience has been like building on the Oasis network. How is working with the Oasis ecosystem, and how has it influenced the development of Illuminex?
Yeah, so basically, as I already mentioned, it was pretty seamless and easy for us to develop, and especially during our ARX journey, because for ARX, we already had the product ready for different ecosystems, and we wanted to port it to Sapphire, and it was pretty easy for us. We just had to do some, like, extra development for RAP tokens, But otherwise, everything worked smoothly at the first testnet deployment, so no other extra changes needed. Because we also tried to port it to zkSync, for example, which is not like private ecosystem, but just in terms of how easy it is, how easy Sapphire is for developers. For zkSync, we had struggles with compilers and etc. While here, we basically didn't even need to change the compiler, and everything deployed just right away. So it's, I would say it's the best solution currently existing, as far as I know, among other confidential ecosystems, because like I think this is the key for adoption, and this is like why Sapphire is really great.
That's so awesome here. Yeah, and I think it echoes, we recently had an announcement with Ocean Protocol, and that was sort of the thesis of their announcement as well, is that Oasis is really, or Oasis Sapphire is really the only solution right now offering all the tools and privacy that people need in a way that's, you know, easy for developers to start building with. In that same vein, you know, you talked about, you know, what your experience has been like building so far. What, maybe we can go into your future roadmap. I know we talked about, you know, the multi-sig, we talked about the confidential DEX and cross-chain swaps. Are there other features or other things that you're planning on building, maybe launching a token? You know, any of these things that you want to talk about in terms of your milestones or your future plans for Luminex?
Yeah, so first of all, I want to say that after the first mainnet release, we will focus on improving user experience, and also we'll focus on improving the ability to set up your confidentiality in advanced way. Like, for example, provide users more settings of how they want to swap and how they want to move their funds. So, like, any advanced user also can set up whatever they need. And also, well, by default, obviously, we will be focusing on, like, average user and on the simplicity and seamless and being seamless. But anyway, we also want to give more options for people if they want to use those options. And also, I want to mention that we want to build the confidential ecosystem on Sapphire and not just DEX. We also were looking into making the launchpad with the decentralized KYC. So it was one of the technologies that we've been developing during our ARX journey, which is like also utilized in trusted execution environments, but we've been using it for settling fiat payments and connecting to banking API. But here we plan to utilize it to actually work with the KYC providers and not being able to access user data, so which is very exciting and interesting in my opinion. So those two things are the closest things that we will deliver. So basically, yeah, this, we have much bigger plans than just building a DEX. So we want to build a confidential ecosystem. So also this private KYC also will be available for third-party developers, also from different chains, so that they can see and utilize Sapphire, even if they are not building something on Sapphire, so that they can understand how great it is. So maybe they will decide to do something on Sapphire as well.
So by private KYC, is that like a KYC provider will store your data in like a confidential soulbound token on Oasis Sapphire, which then, like, you know, you can send permissions to other chains or even to dApps on Sapphire? Is that how you see it working, or is it something else? That you
basically, it will be connected to some KYC API, but the difference is that we will not, and not as well as anybody else, will not be able to know the connection between your user address on the network, like the wallet address, and your KYC data. This is the use case for a private KYC, and this is how technically, like, the technical use case of it.
Got it. And then I'm assuming then the request can come on Sapphire, but then you can send the results of that request to any other chain as well?
Yeah, so that any developers can query, if like user consents, any DApp can query the KYC data, because, well, also one, my personal opinion on this is that DeFi will get more regulated like in upcoming years. Well, at least the trend is like this right now, as I personally see it and many other people. So I think it will be even more important than now. So if we're looking into the future, it will be like a good point to attach to.
Awesome. I can't wait. I can't wait till, I mean, I know it's, you guys are still working on the just the DEX aspect, so there's probably a little bit of wait until you can start building out these future plans, but I'm excited to see how, you know, this development goes moving forward. I guess one other question I had is regarding, you know, you mentioned building out a launch pad. You also had this announcement with Synther last week where they said they'll be partnering with Luminex. What are some other, you know, sort of applications that you think would be mutually beneficial or synergistic with Luminex? Is it lending? Is it NFT marketplaces? What other protocols would you like to see on the ecosystem that you think would benefit you and you could also benefit?
I personally think that all types of DApps that we currently have on other ecosystems can be ported easily to Sapphire, and we will be glad to work with any DApps. So our DMs on Twitter are open, so any DApp developers, we welcome anyone to message us and discuss the potential collaborations. But in terms in terms of use cases and DApps, like also getting back to our previous topic about the private KYC, I think maybe it will be even possible to do some kind of lending protocols that are under-collateralized and like also at the same time compliant and utilizing the confidential KYC and confidential banking screening to give loans in crypto. So maybe it would be also possible. I'm not sure, but it's just one of the ideas that I was thinking about recently. So maybe it will be possible. And then obviously the confidential KYC and confidential open banking will be very, very useful for this type of products.
Yeah, absolutely. So if someone wants to launch a token on Sapphire and they want to get like whitelisted on Luminex, or they want their token to have support with the private token wrapper, they should just reach out to you on Telegram or Discord, or what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Right now we have Twitter only, and closer to the testnet, so in October we will create a Discord. And also, right now you can reach out on Twitter, just DM us and we will reply. And later you will be also able to reach to us on Discord.
Awesome. We did get a few questions from the audience during this. First question is, will the gas fees and transfer swaps, etc. operations on the DEX be paid in Rose token?
It depends on the source chain that you're sending the transfer or swap request from. Let's say if you send it from Ethereum or from BNB chain, then you will pay in native token of the source chain. But of course, if you're sending from Sapphire, then you will pay in Rose, yeah.
And I imagine that even though you're paying in Ethereum, something in the background is happening with relayers that will pay the necessary gas fees for Oasis.
Yeah, so we have some code that is calculating like what's the transaction total cost in the source chain native tokens. Like if you're sending from Ethereum, we know how much you need to pay in ETH to cover all the gas costs on all the networks with some pricing quotation as well.
Got it. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And that's, I think, you know, exactly what we've been trying to explain with the Oasis privacy layer. I think this is just like a, hopefully the next evolution in, you know, in Web3, where we had like, what's the right word? We had like modular blockchains sort of get really popular maybe a year or two ago. And I think modular applications is the way that we go next, where applications can be built on different chains. So it's not let's say a gaming protocol existing on three different chains, but it's like actually using Sapphire for privacy, Arbitrum for, you know, low cost, and then Ethereum for settlement or something along those lines. That's what I hope that we're moving to as a Web3 community. I don't know. What do you think about that, Lisa?
Well, I think personally that this is really the way to go, and it creates a lot of integrity, because right now for DApp developers and for users, it's some sort of struggle, because if they have some DApp that they want to use on one chain, they will have to move funds to this chain from different chain. And for the DApp developers, it's also a problem, because like, for example, if you want to utilize the real random and confidential random, you want to use Sapphire, but to actually connect Sapphire with other networks that you have some other features on, you need to create some sort of multi-chain messaging manually. So if there would be something that would provide this feature in the most seamless possible way, it would be the game changer, I think. So that's why I think multi-chain protocols should move towards some this sort of vision.
Yeah, absolutely. And the last question we have for the audience, I think we already touched on it a bit, but maybe it'd be helpful for the audience if we just went over it again. How does Luminex stop malicious users from misusing your technology?
Yeah, so as already covered, we will have DAO that will be able to reveal the malicious transactions, but it will also be transparent, so it means that DAO cannot abuse their ability to reveal those transactions. It will be on public, and all the DAO requests to reveal those transactions to the smart contract will be visible, and anyone can see if DAO is doing something wrong and will be instantly exposed on public. So, and DAO will be, of course, will have to change their behavior. So it protects users from misuse of ability to reveal transactions, and also help us and help the whole community to stay compliant as the protocol.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like if you're doing some illicit activity or misuse or trying to misuse the technology to do something criminal in nature, like, you probably don't want to choose a technology that intentionally built in a way to expose and to remove people that are doing that from their ecosystem, right? So the average user who just wants to add a little bit more privacy compared to their normal Web3 experience has nothing to worry about. But if you're trying to do something illicit, you know, it's not going to provide you the guarantees that you need, because it's very highly likely that the DAO will vote to expose you because they don't want to be associated with anyone doing that sort of thing.
Yeah, so people who are robbing old ladies are not welcome, obviously.
Yes, no robbing old ladies and then using Luminex. That's a good thing. Okay, well, I think that was it for my questions. I'll give you the floor, Lisa. Is there anything else, anything upcoming you want to talk about? Any exciting news, any timelines? Just, yeah, the floor is yours to plug any information that you want to plug. And then I'll just give some closing remarks.
Yeah, so as mentioned, we will have the public testnet pretty soon ready, so stay tuned, turn on the bell, and we will make the announcement pretty soon of the date when it will be rolled out for the public.
Awesome. Thank you so much for this time today, Lisa. For everyone else in the audience, you know, there's a few things coming up from Oasis' side. We'll be at SmartCon, I think October 2nd in Barcelona. Our team will be there. So if you're in Barcelona, come say hi. Also, I think around that exact same time, October 4th, our hackathon will be closing. So if you're a developer in the community right now and you've been building, start wrapping up your hackathon projects. And we're so super excited to start sharing these hackathon projects with our community. I've already seen like 6 to 7 of them, and they're super cool and super exciting. And we're just really excited to see everyone start getting their hands dirty and building on Oasis Sapphire. And yeah, I think we'll have some cool news for you guys coming up. But yeah, thanks so much for showing up today. Follow Oasis on Twitter. Definitely follow Luminex on Twitter. They're going to have a lot of exciting announcements soon. And I hope you all have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, guys, for inviting me. And everyone, have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.